This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency says that 8.7 million homes are in the 100-year floodplain, which means essentially that you have a 26% chance of significant flooding over the course of your 30-year mortgage. How FEMA determines what's in a floodplain is a long process, but they do federal flood maps, which are informed by satellite technology and a bunch of information on the ground about how our floodplains work, the hydrology of water, you know, whether it's a sea level rise or things of that nature, but also it accounts for the way in which natural environments drain the water and how the water flows through the environment. The problem is it's a very cumbersome process, it's expensive, and Congress hasn't put enough money towards it. So many of these FEMA flood maps are out of date. Many of them haven't been updated for decades. Some areas in the country haven't even been mapped to begin with. And that's why we have only 8.7 million homes when so many people have acknowledged over the course of years that FEMA is likely undercounting the amount of homes that actually can carry this substantial flood risk.
Unprecedented strong hurricanes have battered coastal cities over the last decades, but they're not the only ones suffering from the consequences of climate change. Inland communities around the country are also hit by overflowed rivers and heavier rains. A new study released Monday reevaluated how many homes across America are at risk of flooding, and it nearly doubled FEMA's current 100-year estimate. Today, Politico's Zach Coleman looks at the results of that study. It's Tuesday, June 30th, and I'm Kelsey Tamburino.
What this study found is that FEMA has not been capturing every single home that's at risk of flooding. And I think that there's been a wide understanding in the U.S. that FEMA hasn't captured all those homes because FEMA maps don't include forward projections of climate change. So already First Street, their study is looking outwards to 2050, where it includes an extra 2 million homes that don't currently have severe flood risk. When you talk about having more than 14 million homes carrying this substantial flood risk, that means there are about 6 million more homes than FEMA recognizes as having this major potential for flood damage. So these are people who are maybe buying homes. Unbeknownst to them, they face these flood risks, but they have not bought the proper precautionary insurance to make sure that they don't pay out the back end, which can be very devastating and costly.
So, Zach, is the large number of people without proper flood insurance for their homes something that worries investors and large financial companies that front the money for all of these mortgages?
So, on a personal level, people are not prepared enough. Now, on the financial services side of things, there is some emerging research by a few people in the academic world that points to a number of lenders offloading climate-exposed mortgages to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are the partially taxpayer-backed government-sponsored enterprises that support half of the U.S. mortgage market. So there's this sense from a lot of this research that a lot of the financial companies are already getting out of these riskier spots and dumping the mortgages on to Fannie and Freddie. But I think that even the companies that have access to this specialized data are still figuring out exactly how to buttress their portfolios and how to not take severe losses from climate change.
And as part of this whole assessment of flood risk for American homes, this study also ranks areas by their flood risk from 1 to 10, which is now a metric that pretty much anyone can use when they're looking at valuing a property. So could this new metric affect a group in particular?
So when I talked to Tina Johnson of the National Black Environmental Justice Network, she was concerned that this rating of every home in the U.S. with a flood score might actually have some unintended negative consequences for Black Americans. After the Civil War, freed slaves were pushed into lowlands because those were less valuable areas to live. And so you had entire Black communities setting up in these areas that were prone to flooding. And then on top of that, you had actual institutional policies that, you know, kept Black Americans in floodplains and kept them out of white communities that didn't flood as much. So there's a question now, if you have a flood score, does that cut against the homeowner's ability to accumulate wealth? And for Black Americans, it's just something that piles on. It's kind of an albatross around the primary way that Americans accumulate wealth.
Also, later today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and top Democrats on the Select Committee on the Climate Crisis will unveil their long-awaited legislative plan to combat climate change. The plan is expected to call for reaching net zero carbon emissions by 2050, in line with the goal that climate scientists say is crucial to fending off the worst effects of climate change. On a caucus call Monday, House Democrats touted an independent review of their proposal that said, if enacted, it would save 62,000 lives and realize $8 trillion in climate and public health benefits over the next 30 years. Any legislation containing aggressive climate moves is likely to stall in the Republican-controlled Senate, but Democrats are hoping to turn Republicans' inaction into a campaign issue for November's election. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Support for the Politico Energy podcast comes from Chevron, partnering with California Bioenergy to transform farm waste into renewable natural gas, and providing an alternative source of power for a cleaner way forward. For more information, visit chevron.com.